And the rationale goes something like this. In the computer era where we live, three things appear to be true. One, any protection that you make will be broken. Somewhere out there, some Moldovan graduate student with a state-of-the-art computer lab is going to crack open your DRM. There is no DRM that can be made at a reasonable, realistic cost that will protect mass-market, high-demand mass-market entertainment content from, you know, being copied. Somewhere there is somebody who's smart enough to break it. Certainly the last 8 years have indicated that that's always true. There's been no mass market DRM standard that's been introduced in the market that has not been broken, sometimes very quickly. So second, people who want content will be able to share that content. That's the second assumption in the dark net set of assumptions. The argument here is that we have cheap ways of sending content between us. The internet is the obvious example of this, but there are other examples, right? I mean, obviously Sony now is talking about a Blu-ray disc that's able to store 50 gigabytes of information on a single optical disc. In a world in a few years where you'll be able to put 50 gigs on a disc that'll probably cost you less than $5 at the store, people are hardly going to need the internet anymore. They will be able to circulate large quantities of digital data, make copies and share copies, even without the aid of the internet. Sneakernet, as one famous computer security person once put it, never underestimate the bandwidth of a station wagon full of backup tapes. Right? I mean, the reality is today it's becoming easier and easier to share, copy, and exchange digital information, internet or no internet. Right? So that seems to be right. And so the combination of these two assumptions leads to the conclusion that all you need basically is one person. So long as there's one leak, the content will be widely available everywhere without protection. As one of my colleagues, Mike Godwin, who works at Public Knowledge, once put it, this is what he calls the smart cow problem. All it takes is one smart cow to lift the latch and open the gate, and all the less sophisticated cows can just walk out behind him, right? And that's basically the darknet problem. The DRM, the whole concept that DRM would slow piracy was based on this notion of what sometimes the Hollywood lobbyists call the speed bump. Sure, we may not be able to stop the really sophisticated computer science whiz in Moldova, but we can stop most of the mom and dad in tennis shoes from doing it at home. That was fine until people had an inexpensive, anonymous, very difficult to stop way to trade information, right? Because the problem is the speed bump doesn't work if the person in Moldova can upload it to a peer-to-peer file sharing network and then every mom and dad in tennis shoes all across the world can download it with the click of a button using any widely available P2P app. And in fact, the last 8 years have demonstrated the truth of this set of assumptions as well. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to run Kazaa. It doesn't take a computer security whiz to use BitTorrent. In fact, tens of millions of Americans are regularly using these file sharing applications today, notwithstanding all the legal enforcement, all of the 20,000 individuals sued by the recording industry. Most estimates show that P2P file sharing is more popular today than potentially ever before, certainly a lot more popular than back in the heyday of Napster. So, you know, if anyone remembers what the original Napster was like to use, it sure wasn't the kind of thing that required a computer whiz to operate. So not only does the darknet thesis make DRM ineffective, because again, if it's cracked by one person, uploaded to a peer-to-peer network, or shared hand-to-hand, or whatever channel you choose, people will be able to get those copies. And when they get the copies aren't protected anymore, right? When you download a movie from BitTorrent, it comes pre-cracked, right? You don't have to go and find DCSS or Handbrake or DVD Shrink or any of the other DVD ripping programs. It comes to you as a compressed, clean MPEG-4, no need to be a computer genius anymore, right? So you have a situation then where DRM, if it fails once, it fails everywhere, and it fails completely. So it's no good.